You ready for a movie? Cause you missed it. My name is Zach, as you might know already if you've been listening to the previous episodes. And I got a movie for everybody today. This is a new type of movie for everybody. I think everybody can probably agree on that. It's called Tetsuo the Iron Man. That's what it's called. It's from released on Canada Day in 1989, which was actually 17 days before I sprung up into this earth.
So the movie was like a
heralding of Zach's arrival.
It was an omen of Zach's arrival. Yeah,
that's what it was. So this is stories about me.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Like, oh, it's all
suddenly
clear
it's
now.
All becoming clear.
Yeah, so this movie, directed by Shinya Tetsumoto, it's a Japanese film, really creative, but like super crazy, super weird, kind of one of a kind type of vision, and that's why it's one of my favorite films of all time. And I love the score and things like that, but I don't really want to get too much into it. I don't want to get into the story or anything. I more just want to kind of get straight to you guys, because I really want to hear what you guys have to think about it. But before we get to that, we're going to get to the social media, which, you know, we'll mention all the different social medias, but the main one is Jack's Mailbox.
Oh,
you send it to Jack's Mailbox. You can send it straight there. And then you can do these if things don't work out. Or if you want to send additional mail too.
Just,
I mean,
send him a drill dick.
Drill
I mean,
dick.
Drill. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Drill penis.
I don't know what's real anymore.
Penis.
Penis.
Jill Rod.
So yeah, Alex, you got the social medias. Who's doing the social media plug-in?
Hey, it's your episode, man.
My episode. All right. Well, go to Facebook. Look, you missed it. Look, go to Instagram. Take sexy photos. Send to the Facebook. Go to, I don't know, what the fuck do we have? Mailbox.
Oh my god. Okay. You can find us on iTunes. You can find
SoundCloud.
Us on SoundCloud. You can find us on Twitter at YMI_podcast. You can find us on Facebook and all the stuff that Zach listed so horribly. Continue on.
Mailbox.
Yeah,
that's what you should
and I guess my mailbox.
Yeah, and Grindr.
Right. And we can't forget about Grindr.
We're on
yes.
Grindr.
As yeah. of this episode.
Yeah.
Because of this episode.
Because of this one.
Well, we want to be available to everybody, so it's Tinder and Grindr.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. You got to make yourself available. You got to put yourself out there. You know? So, yeah. So this was a film. And I actually, was actually lucky enough to see this on the big screen, actually, one
what?
Time, believe it or not. Rio Theater. The only reason it was there was because the Soska twins were in town, and they were like, we got this fucked up movie. And I was like the only one, I kid you not, in the audience who had seen it, besides the Soska twins. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, because they brought me up on stage, like, briefly and stuff, and they were like, oh, so what's your, like, what's the moment that, like, freaks you out the most or something like that? And I forget what I said, but
that's the wrong question to ask you.
Yeah,
with this movie.
But it was like yeah, I was the only person in the entire audience to see it, and I was like, holy shit, this is gonna blow some people's minds, for better or for worse. I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could be taking a risk with picking this movie for this channel too, because I realize it's out there and it's a tad different
yeah.
from the other films we've watched. So, but I'm really curious to hear what people have to say about this. So
before that, you mentioned you saw it at the Rio.
I did.
Just wanted, I don't know who's listening around Vancouver, but the Rio's at risk of potentially going away at some point.
Yeah.
And right now they're still collecting signatures to help. Basically they're trying to save themselves, because the zoning for that theater, they're saying movie theater, but it doesn't guarantee they have to keep a movie theater, but it doesn't guarantee they have to keep something like the Rio.
Right.
They could do something different. So mm-hmm. they could end up going away, and that's a big piece of Vancouver's history. Mm-hmm. They've been around for an insanely long amount of time. Like, it's iconic when it comes to Vancouver. So, I mean, there's an online petition and supporting them now, if possible, with just going to events and things like that. Yeah, now would be the time. So if just a reminder to anybody, but if you're from Vancouver, but yeah,
I signed it. I mean,
I did too.
Mm-hmm. I signed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a good thing to sign, because I mean, and a lot of people are backing it up. But the more people, obviously, it shows like how important it is to the city and to the individuals, right? And,
Last I saw, they were at 13,000 signatures, something
probably.
Like that.
Yeah.
So they're still going, and it's going pretty quick, but. yeah. Now, yeah, they're saying themselves, yeah, now's the time to, yep. to kind of help. And
I hope Kevin Smith us, right? actually gets to come.
Kevin Smith, he yeah, probably, he's even yeah. on board. So, yeah. Yeah. yeah, like, hell, even if you're not from Vancouver, you come and visit, go check out the Rio. Right?
Yeah.
It's an awesome place to see pretty much anything. You're going to have a good time, good crowds.
Yep. Yes. It's also recently mm-hmm. iconic for those who don't know, for where James Franco first saw the room and met Greg Sestero to end up, and from there led to the movie The Disaster Artist.
Yeah, so if the Rio didn't exist, you never would have gotten your Disaster Artist movies, no. guys. So, you know.
And also, if the Rio didn't exist, I wouldn't have seen this movie on the big screen.
There's a lot of movies. Exactly. Well, that's the whole, I think what's the best thing about the Rio is that you can see certain movies you thought you would never see in the big yep. screen.
I think it's that and the crowds, like the atmosphere. Oh, yeah. It's yes. such a unique atmosphere that you don't get at any theater. I haven't had it at even the
Cinematheque,
like Cinematheque, yeah. like ones that are like art house house theaters and things like that. The crowds are respectful, nice and stuff, but you don't get like a genuinely fun, good crowd like you do at the Rio.
It's different. It's very different, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you go to the Cinematheque for one thing, you go to the Rio for another, but the Rio definitely has that, you know, kind of neat medium where it has like certain films you'd never think you would see, like you had mentioned, Jack, like Ran, the fact that yeah. we saw Ran
yeah.
on the big screen last year, and it was just like, oh my god,
just yeah,
that blew you away big time too.
Oh yeah, that was yeah. Just seeing that in its full glory was just unreal.
Yeah,
and no, it's great. And then even seeing like films like, you know, Best Friends, what other theater yeah. is going to show that in Vancouver?
Cinematheque wouldn't. And exactly. that's the thing. Like they could play Ram, they could play, but it's like strictly art house, right? Whereas Rio doesn't really have a code.
No, they kind of just do their own thing. Wants. Yeah. They're what they want to put on. They're open to suggestion.
Their canteen they're rules.
They really are part of the community, and that's what makes them special. Because they actually show what the community wants or what they're interested in. They try to gauge everything, and they're very good.
And the community gets involved with the Rio as well, totally. With all the burlesque shows and all yeah, that.
Their
like,
performances,
it's great.
They got live, they got everything. They're not just a movie theater. Mm-hmm. So much more than that. But yeah. Anyway.
Surprised you didn't pick on me there. I said the canteen is awesome.
I just ignore New Brunswickisms.
Yeah.
So we should
translate.
We should have a link to the online petition on Facebook and SoundCloud.
Sure.
Right, yep.
Help yeah. to boost their signatures from 13,000 to 13,020.
There you go.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. Just throw the petition link on there. We'll throw the petition link on there and then
absolutely
we can design it. But yeah, save the Rio.
Save the Rio.
That's that. So where are we starting, Zach?
Well, basically the question is, Andrew, would you petition to bring this movie to more people, or would you petition against it and put it into the
I don't
poop
really
shoot?
Want to go first.
I don't think any of us wants to go first.
It's, like, just, it's a film.
I don't even know what to say. Just
yep.
Because I recognized it just because I was over at your place before.
Yeah, you had some fragments of this film. You had seen pieces. You had seen one or two full scenes.
Yeah, there's like basically said. The intro, the one specific scene in its entirety, and kind of the end bit.
Okay.
I remember.
Yeah.
Because I was basically bag tired. We watched some other movies, and I was not. It was like a fever dream because I was way too tired. Took a nap, and I was just waking up throughout it. So it was burnt in my memory as this weird. It was like a dream. It felt like that was a part of the dream, that movie. So, and then why I can't honestly say, watching it now, it doesn't feel very much different. It still feels like a fever dream.
Amen to that.
So,
fucked up dream.
Holy shit. I'll start with positives then, because that's a good place to start, I think. The score is really cool. That's probably it sounds very Nine Inch Nails. You were saying that Nine Inch Nails were inspired by this. Mm-hmm. That kind of makes sense. It's very industrial, and I dig it because I like that sound. So that's always gonna jive with me. I thought it was really cool. I thought, yeah, the visuals were really cool. Like I was saying, it was like a Nine Inch Nails music video, which is really awesome to look at visually. There was a lot of body horror in it, and I think it really depends what your opinion is of body horror, whether you're going to enjoy this or not. Like, if you're cool and you enjoy watching things that have body horror in them, then you'll like parts of this. You'll like what they do because it's really really interesting body horror. Whereas if you're just uncomfortable with it, you just don't have a good time, you're not going to like
no.
like what they do, because it makes you really uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable just naturally, which is
right.
torn. I'm torn because I know that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
But it's also not like the most pleasant of experiences when you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, I just feel uneasy. You know, you don't feel like, oh, I can't snack. I can't eat.
It didn't
just
turn you on gross. When he put that metal rod in his leg and maggots were coming
out.
Yeah,
it was a good, that was a good setup for what, it was a good indicator of what to expect from that movie in the first 10 seconds. You know, you're like, oh yeah, this is okay. Yeah, this is what this movie's going to be. Yeah, so I did think that the visuals were really cool. The music was really cool. The visuals were really cool. I kind of dug the story a little. Like, I liked parts of the story. I liked the idea that it was kind of neat, like the twist of the car, the idea that all of these characters are connected in this weird way, right? And they almost treat, like, metal as a virus. Like, it'll infect and turn everybody into metal. And I think that's a cool... that's just a cool idea, and I like the ending a lot. Actually, I thought that the ending was really cool. The idea that it's like, oh, you've created this this monster now, and now he's almost like another Japanese monster, right?
Right. Yeah.
And that was cool. So I thought all of that was cool, but yeah, I don't know, just like an overall pretty uncomfortable experience. And I can't say that it's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's just something that you sit through, and I don't know how much fun I had during it. I feel like maybe I don't need to watch that multiple times. I don't feel like I need to watch that many times, just because there's a lot in it. So maybe if I wanted to like pick up on some of the smaller stuff that's hard to get the first time, because it's really lean, it goes very quick. But it's also very, it's also a very uncomfortable experience. So I don't know how good I feel about going back to something like that.
Well, like I had said too, is like the runtime is actually kind of perfect. I don't know if any of you guys don't know who are listening, this movie is only 67 minutes. So it's really just over an hour. That's, you know, it's a pretty short feature film. It's barely a feature, really. It depends on your definition, I guess, of a feature. But yeah, it's very short, but at the same time, I think it's the perfect runtime for what it throws at you, how vicious and crazy the vision is, and what it's going for, right? I think it's the perfect runtime. I think if you went an hour and a half with this, I think it would kind of get a little slow towards the end, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas I think this one, it kind of goes, mm-hmm. and just cray, man. It's cray.
It was crazy. That runtime, it did benefit from not being too long, because it was all over the place. I like the idea that it does feel like monsters, but kind of like normal like humans kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a traditional monster, I guess.
Right.
It feels like a lot more like they're essentially, they're not even like cyborgs. They're just,
it's like world building. It's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
probably what I liked about it, because again, it's just so hard to pin down. I think that the world building is cool.
Yeah.
If I think about like the structure of the film from start to end, I don't know how excited I am about the just overall plot.
Right. Okay.
Of it, I feel like maybe that was weaker.
Okay.
That's where I'm at right now. I feel like that's all I can say about it right now. It's better to move away from me now.
See what everybody kind of thinks, and then we'll talk about it. So Alex, is this your favorite film of all time? Is this your least favorite film of all time? Or is this your okay favorite film of all time?
It's my favorite film of today.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Wow, it threw me for a loop.
Yep.
When you told me it was Japanese and it was from 1989, that gave me an idea.
Okay.
And the opening shots of the black and white and the handheld camera, I kept that in mind, because usually opening shots help to set the tone of the film.
Right.
And this kind of did that. But like I said, it threw me for a loop within the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
And you refer to it as a film, not a movie. And I think there's an important distinction between film and movie, because I had a lot of fun watching this. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to try and figure out what the director was actually trying to say. I could delve into it, and then I could read afterwards what the director had to say about what the film was really about, and I'd look like a fool. And I'm probably going to do that anyway, which is fine. But... oh wow, there's a lot to unpack in that.
Yep. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of things going on in terms of like the messages and even what you can pull. And I mean, and then there's also, I mean, it's just, it's art, right? So there's so many kind of different things. It's one of those movies where there's like different stories you could almost pull from it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'll get into that later, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, and you're saying it's art.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would go along with that. It's
yeah.
definitely way off the path of mainstream creative,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we need every once in a while, and mm-hmm. this definitely went that way. It reminds me of the film that came out the next year in the United States, Begotten.
Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. to me, I think there's a connection between the two,
mm-hmm.
even though Begotten had absolutely no dialogue and it told a more primitive story.
Sure, yeah.
This was a more modern story. Mm-hmm. I think this film had to do more with, and I'm probably wrong here, this okay. is where I make a fool of myself.
Right, so no, go for it. Go
bring
for
out it. The popcorn. So I think 1989, late 80s.
Yeah.
So I think there's commentary on emerging technology
yeah.
and how that affects people.
Right.
And how people are getting used to automation
mm-hmm.
and they're moving away from the traditionalist viewpoint of doing things yourself.
Yeah.
And like when I grew up in the 1980s
mm-hmm.
and the 90s, using a calculator,
mm-hmm.
starting to use a calculator mm-hmm. as opposed to writing it down long form. Mm-hmm. So that idea of automation, having a machine do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that in Detroit in the 90s with the creation of cars through machines as opposed to people.
Right.
So automation and technology mm-hmm. and our dependence on it. It reminds me of Existenz from 1999,
yeah.
mm-hmm. where it's humans biologically merging with technology.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you could get into the Matrix on that, on yeah. the psychological aspect. Yeah. And there was another film that reminded me, The Machinist.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. The Machinist was, and spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it, Christian Bale's character gets really, really, really thin because of the guilt he suffers over hit and run.
Right.
And I think there's a little bit of that in here, although I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, as you said, the car did bring all the characters together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something in that.
Mm-hmm.
But visually,
yeah.
it's a treat. I would have loved to have been the sound editor on this film,
because yep.
it'd be very stressful, but it'd also be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a powerhouse in this film, too.
Yeah.
And I mean, I highly recommend it. If you have that rare opportunity to see it on a big screen with a big sound, I mean, just, yeah, the sound design, the score, like mm-hmm. everything is just incredible. If you get like a really good system and listen to it, it's actually really impressive and ahead of its time. And just really creative. Like,
Yeah, really out there. And yeah. to be an actor in that film.
Yeah.
I think at first it'd be confusing, because when you get sides for something like this, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But you go in and you try to do your best.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get that part, you might get the whole script, or you might just get sides each day.
Yeah.
And no matter what, it's going to be interesting and stressful at the same time. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have been the fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Watching that production, because oh man, that would have been something else.
It would have been incredible. And I just love the design and stuff,
yeah.
like just everything they went through. It's like it seems simple, but at the same time it's like complex, right? They're
yeah.
using simple things, but they're making these crazy costumes, and he's like morphing and things like with metal and technology, and
yeah,
as it goes on it gets
yeah.
crazier and crazier and crazier. And and you're dead on about the analogy of like technology kind of taking over people's lives, and especially with it being in Japan, it has an even bigger precedence. And that's the main one that like people tend to pull out, and I think that's definitely what he was going for, was that that kind of idea, right? That it's like taking over people and consuming them.
You keep seeing like that being
yeah.
Evolved over time as well, right?
Yeah.
So like after that it was you know, there's like the cyborg element, so a little
yeah.
more futuristic version of this, something that's you know, a little bit more computer,
mm-hmm.
and then nowadays like the version of what he's going for now, which you see a lot actually, is just either AI, like AI in robots, humanoid looking robots, right? So
mm-hmm.
yeah you're kind of getting that all the time, right? The idea of a technology taking over, you know, the human element.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just see that to varying degrees. So yeah, this one, it does feel weird though, the idea,
mm-hmm.
the whole metal idea, like metal taking over idea. I think that's kind of
strange.
I guess so. Because like what, 89? It was still computers and
it was computers, but it's the whole like kind of idea, like the primitive idea of it, of just like, you know, raw metal.
Well, everybody's freaking out over like you know, computers, the internet, all that stuff back then. So yeah, that you know was kind of, oh god, where's this gonna go? It's gonna take over, you know, Skynet, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was like
a little early for that.
But it was, but it's like, you know, not far off.
No,
right?
No.
And the tech's still there. That's what people were talking about at the time as well. But yeah, I don't know. This just feels like it's still a strange choice, because it's like, oh, metal taking over the world. But I kind of get that, because like if you think about the way we construct our cities, the way, you know, the air, like you were saying, cars and all of that. It's like everything's metal, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically the metal world. Like this is a random thing. It just reminded me of, Alex, was just like, I was playing this game called Horizon Zero Dawn. It came out last year, and it's this game where basically it's like the post apocalypse, when like the world has ended and been reborn. And the idea, they keep referring to the old world, our world, like we know it now, is the metal world. And everything's metal, because the idea that it's not nature anymore. Everything that's left over, these metal structures that have decayed and everything, it's all part of the metal world. And I'm not going to at all spoil that game for anybody who wants to play it, but it turns out that, it's like a typical type thing happened to to us, that like our time that made us pretty much all metal. We were really reliant on that stuff. So I kind of get that mentality. So I kind of see where he's coming from and that idea. It is still strange to me, though. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You just reminded me of that when you mentioned it.
It's like a Philip K. Dick type paranoia.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that play out in a kind of early Vine and 5-second films and strange videos from the deep web all mashed up and then shot on grainy film from the late 1980s.
Right.
I think I understand why he shot it in black and white as opposed to color. But yeah, because trying to shoot in both, it would confuse the audience way too much.
Yeah.
As if they aren't already. But I think there are things I wanted to see in color.
Yeah.
Some shots. I wanted to see more of what was in there, but all I see is just patches of black and then white. But I think it's sometimes not what we see, it's what we don't see.
Sure.
I know that sounds kind of art house-y stupid, but I think there's something to that, and I think that's part of why it was shot in black and white.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, if you want to see, you know, color, you go see part two. Tetsuo 2 Body Armor came out 3 years later. It's actually a pretty solid trilogy. There's three movies in this. Body Hammer came out like 3 years later, and it's pretty good. Actually, Ebert was even a fan of it too. And then Tetsuo 3, The Bullet Man came out, I think, like 15 years or 17 years later, and Trent Reznor scored it.
Nice.
Because he was like, yeah, I was a big fan of the first one. Like, it influenced me big time. I want to like do this, because Chu Ishikawa, he did this incredible score for the first two movies. The score in the second one's a knockout too, but yeah, Trent Reznor took over in the third one as well. But it's a pretty solid trilogy overall. Again, if you like, you know, Tetsuo the Iron Man, you should kind of pursue the other two, I think. Although I do think the first one's my favorite, just for the raw, like, you know, crazy and just the visionary style that like you've never really seen.
Yeah,
you know, just. And like almost like the stop motion like type stuff too. Like it's so cool.
That was cool.
Just the way they used it. Like, you know, like stop motion was obviously a thing for a long time, but even by that point, but just the way they did it, like in terms of like modes of transportation and like almost like action scenes, like when you don't have a lot of money and things like that. It was just such a neat way to like do that. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So now we're going over to McTwist.
Oh yeah.
McTwist, what did you think of this this bad boy? And how is it on the scale of Scarface to to Face?
Oh, to Face.
Was it Scarface to Face?
Oh, there's a lot of the scars on this here. Face. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still processing what I just saw. Basically, like the only thing I kind of wrote down, because I only wrote.
Fuck.
Well,
or just what
after I wrote? Yeah, pretty much. My mind's like, but pretty much I can just sum up this movie. It's an assault on the senses.
Yep.
Just in a nutshell, like pretty much that's from like sight and sound and everything. Even feeling, I feel like, ugh, this is weird.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny, like there's a lot of things that I could say that I think worked for me at the same time I also didn't like at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's one of those love-hate kind of things where you're like, I like what they're doing, but at the same time, it's really pissing me off of how it's showing, because it's not really, it's a movie that definitely does not hold your hand. It just kind of.
No, it doesn't care.
It throws it throws you in a roller coaster and it says, have fun.
Yep.
And then you come back and you're like, I feel like I just went through that tunnel in the chocolate factory and Willy Wonka.
You know,
I just feel like I just watched an hour version of that. Just like, what the fuck did I just see?
The Japanese version.
Pretty much.
Smoking meth.
Yeah, the movie. I'll say what I liked. The music and the sound design I thought was definitely the main draw of the movie, because you can just listen to this without any visuals and still get something out of it.
I listen to the score all the time.
It's definitely like
a good workout score.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
It just has a good energy to it and a good like drive, and it keeps kind of like the energy going.
Yep.
Almost like a heart pumping. It just like keeps going.
And it matches the surroundings of
it does.
The film with the metal and all
it
that.
It does feel almost like the sounds almost feel like a factory, you know?
Yep.
Very
much.
Like,
so you feel like you're hearing sounds of a factory, but in kind of music form.
Yeah. And
it's very rhythmic.
It feels like you're hitting metal on metal.
Raw,
you're
kind of have the clanking and the echoing sound. Yeah. Like, it's very, very industrial.
That's why it's so good, I think. Too.
No, all that stuff was very interesting. And I can definitely say I haven't seen a movie like this before.
Right.
Which, you know, that's saying a lot. It's a very original movie on that. On that scope. But in terms of like rewatchability or anything like that, I don't know. This is like a one and done movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I could.
You don't
ever
want to dive into it again and explore.
Like,
the
I'd be interested to see the sequels just to see where they go with this premise. Just because it is one of those movies you kind of sit down and you just go, like, I couldn't follow anything. Just like, what's going on for the most part? Because just how it's shot, this is where it's like, it's the frustrating part of it.
Super hard to follow.
I'm trying to pinpoint certain things. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Who's who?
Yeah.
And
dude, you weren't the only one. I think that's the funny thing I'm noticing. I think we all felt stupid watching this movie because we're like, I'm not getting it all, man. Like, I don't know. What's going on? Alex is like, I think it was this.
And he was dead on, though. Like, that's kind of the main thing.
But then you feel dumb because you're like, am I missing something? I don't know.
Well,
what
it's certainly not holding your hand.
Like,
drags you into the middle of a crowd and abandons you there.
Yeah,
that's
like,
true, but it abandons me in, like, an acid trip. So I don't
much.
Know what's going on.
Welcome to Crazy Art House, man. This is what it is.
I've seen Art House. Like, this seems even crazy for Art House.
Like,
it depends on what you're watching.
I can say I've never seen a movie like this from Japan, like from anywhere.
I've seen like
not this kind of crazy.
No, not in terms of like how it's put together in execution, but in terms of like the whole theme of like, I kind of got the theme with like being assimilated through machinery and all that,
how
we're becoming more and more dependent and almost becoming like machines.
Right.
Like we've seen this in Japan a lot. Like the one movie that I kept thinking of while watching this was Akira.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense.
And it's just like, this just seems to be a big thing in Japan.
Nowhere on the level of crazy.
But in terms of like,
just an FYI,
but the
anybody who has seen Akira or this,
well, when your movie makes Akira look sane, like that, saying
Akira's still pretty crazy. Like, it's got moments.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like to me, like there's like, I remember like I broke my kind of like notes into like plot, acting, directing, all that shit, and plot. I just wrote what plot.
That's what I was kind of echoing too, and I was I was talking because I just didn't feel like there wasn't much for
but there is a plot.
I think that's a little unfair.
It's not so much a plot, it's just
there's a plot.
It's more story. It's just sort of just it's not like a twist where you're not engaged with the story, you're engaged with the execution.
Yeah, it's more of a feeling than it is. Yeah, a story.
Yeah, it's an experience.
This is pure emotion. Like, there's times where you feel uncomfortable. There's times where you feel like Yeah, well, really uncomfortable. There's times.
Say that 80% of the runtime is uncomfortable.
I don't know. Like for me, the movie never bugged me that way. Like I wasn't like grossed out.
You
weren't
disturbed.
No, not once. Sure. I was just more like okay.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I don't know.
It just depends on what you're bothered
you're
by, though, to be
that
fair.
Opening didn't like at all.
No.
Because, like, that was pretty.
I was like, okay. I'm like, and then I joked to seeing the mega. I was like, well, what do you expect was going to happen?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I was never disturbed. I was just like, what are you going to do? Where are you going with this?
I mean, I think that varies, like I was saying just now, like with you, who you are and what makes you tick, right? Because, yeah, I mean, that's you, but obviously it affected you a lot more.
Yeah,
and
it just,
there's certain people like certain things. It's like you with the cannibalism thing, Jack.
A little
it's like,
bit.
It nothing
me.
For me, but for you, it's a whole nother.
Yeah, it just bugs me. But the main thing also, like I said, the love-hate thing is that I thought that the graininess and the black and whiteness kind of really helped with like the special effects and the overall pacing of the movie. But at the same time, it did make things a lot harder to see, especially when it's just going all over the place.
You gotta watch it a second time.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch it a second time.
It's good, man.
Because I felt like I got enough out of it after kind of like, okay, with the car and scene all kind of stitched together to sort of make some sort of sense. I'm like, okay, I sort of see what they're going with, but at the same time, it's like, you know, like if the movie's not going to bother telling me what's going on, or at least give me something to hang on to, then I'm not going to reach out. So I'm just going to just take it at face value. And
if it's moving so fast, you kind of have to, you can't absorb it all.
And that's where it becomes instinctual reactions to it. Like, what are you feeling instinct? And for the most part, it's just like, for me, it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's just something about it. It reminds me, I think, it didn't disturb you in any way, but like looking at like the metal, it just reminded me of like a fungus.
Yeah,
it reminds me of like the crazy like zombie monsters from The Last of Us or something.
Oh yeah, that's actually
where it's
a good
just
idea.
Like these like shit growing out of them, out of their heads, and and it looks all fungusy almost, but it replaced like a fungus with like wires and stuff.
Yeah.
But it looks eerily similar, and it is a gross ass look, man.
Oh
it
yeah, and to me it works better in black and white, because if it was in color, I think it would have looked a lot more fake.
Yeah, sure, for sure.
I think like the overexposed were like the whites were really, really high, and so it was like almost like washed out at times, which I think worked with the metallic feel of it.
Yeah, it's more raw.
Yeah,
right?
It looks more grittier. It looks more, you know, and the thing about black and white looks more like a dream, you know. It doesn't feel real. And that's, I think,
you're telling me.
Exactly. So I don't know. Like overall, like I thought it was, I'm glad at least I got to see it once, but I don't know. I wouldn't see it again.
Okay. I think you should give it some time. Give it a couple years. Come back to it. Because honestly, I think like multiple times when I've watched, I've picked up different things.
I don't know. It's been a couple years for me.
Well, but hold on. But you didn't see the whole movie. You saw chunks.
Yeah.
But you didn't see the whole thing in cohesive order.
I don't know. I'm just going to say I have no interest in seeing it again.
Okay.
Like pretty much. I pretty much have no interest in seeing it again. And I have.
I just think it's exciting. I think the vision's really creative. I think it's so out there and different from anything you get. And I don't know. Personally, I just think, like, you know, it should be kind of on a level of, like, say, like, some of Lynch's films and, like, Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Because
that's really
definitely
what they compare. They compare, they kind of say it's, like, Eraserhead meets, like, The Terminator meets.
Yeah.
Like, they just combine all their movies and then, like, some Cronenberg body horror film. And you throw it all together and it's this movie. But it's not, too.
I don't disagree with what, like, why you like it and all that.
It's
just for and it actually watching this, I'm like, I kind of get Zach a little more now.
We're gonna reenact this in Japan.
Again,
Jack.
Zach wasn't you're not a Lynch fan. You weren't.
Well, I mean, there's a big hold up. I mean, there's been some changes. There's been evolution, like this film.
Yeah, but which movies of his that you saw that you weren't a fan of?
So
right?
I think this is going a little off track.
He needs to rewatch.
Not entirely, because like this is kind
of
Lynch-y,
a little.
Right?
He knows a little more of what I'm talking about. So basically, so with Lynch, I remember watching. I think it was what was it again? Lost Highway. I watched that one. Wasn't into it when I first saw it. I was like, what the hell's going on? Blah blah blah. But that was years ago, and I was like, what the hell is this? I don't like it. This is just kind of being random for being random, right? But at the same time, to be fair, I also haven't watched a lot of art house stuff. And then I think it wasn't until like Twin Peaks where things started to really click. And that one is crazy, but it's not as crazy. I think
it's his most accessible, I think.
I would say, well, no, he's got more accessible stuff than that. Like, but the short story, straight story.
He's the got Elephant Man's a lot more straightforward.
I've heard The Elephant too. Man is, I haven't seen that yet, actually. But that one is one too. So he's got some straightforward films. But Twin Peaks kind of got me into it. And then I started watching his other stuff and it's like, you know what? Like it's starting to click, right? Cause it does. Like the more you watch art house, you know, and things like that, the more like even like Tetsuo the Iron Man and like, you know, anything by, was it Alejandro Jodorowsky? I believe is his name. He did like El Topo and The Holy Mountain, stuff like that. Like those films, like the really like crazy art house movies that a lot of people would see at face value and go, eh. You know, if you're into that and you watch a lot of that stuff, some things start to click with that and become some of your favorites potentially.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's just a scene that you're watching. Like you're taking it in just as it is, but you see a scene all of a sudden. That doesn't make sense. Why is... Because when you do a film, you have to structure it a certain way, depending on the point of view you're shooting it from. And if something doesn't make sense at first, that might lead you on a different path as to, well, why is this here?
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason for it. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
Oh, exactly. And those often you repeat views and then you go, aha, you figure that out. Exactly. And then it's fun, right?
Exactly.
And then it becomes this whole... you know, rewarding experience, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Well, the best movies do that.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. So.
So there you go. So it's a couple years, come back to this.
I don't know, because all those other, I've seen Holy Mountain. I felt differently.
You saw Holy Mountain?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I felt differently about that movie than I do about this movie.
In a good or bad way? I'm curious. Because I didn't know this.
Like, did I prefer Holy Mountain? Is that what you're asking?
Well, that, but also kind of like, what did you like? You know, differently from this movie. I mean, they are very different. I'll give you that. You know, there's an intensity to this film that one doesn't have, right? The rush and everything. But it is also like, it's very art house.
I was just more
house, so.
Engaged with it, I guess, with Holy Mountain than I was with this. I think it's the speed of this, to be honest.
It is intense. It's
the speed
it
of
never
this
stops.
Just, because it has all those elements of, like, because something, like, if you're watching art house, I find that it's good to sit on something, to have those moments and to sit on them, because you're like, your brain's just firing, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. What is happening?
Yeah.
Because, like we've all kind of said, like, you feel lost at points in this movie. But I feel like before you have a chance to, you have not even like a couple seconds to sit on anything before something else happens.
I love
that. So it feels like constant questions for a full 67-minute run.
Yeah, you got to sit on it at the end of the credits.
Yeah, which impossibly is hard to do because you're like, so much happened, I don't know. And then you have to rewatch it, but you're like, but I don't want to. So like, there's no winning in this one.
Maybe you watch it again.
Yeah, like even
like,
Lynch's
what?
Stuff. I'm like, okay, at least I can sit on stuff, kind of be confused in the moment, looking at it like what, and then go okay, and then you'll start to come around during the movie.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But then with this, like, I don't know, it just flies.
Yes, it does.
Flies and just leaves like a wreckage in your brain.
And it's awesome again, and that represents the movie, like what's going on. I think that's. It's awesome and it's different, and I love how it doesn't let you breathe. It's just
totally,
boom, 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 boom. I think it's really cool.
I think,
like,
it depends what you want to get from your movies, man.
I mean, fair enough, but it's like, I love those. I mean, and they don't come around often. There's not a lot of movies like that, but it's just really cool when you have a movie that's just nonstop intense, but it's got that, like I said, that art side to it, and it's just got so many things to unpack, and the vision and everything. I just love the movie. We haven't gotten to Rylan yet.
Yeah, I want
to
hear what Rylan
talking
has
a long
to say.
Time. And Rylan, I was curious about. Yeah. I was telling Jack, Rylan's not going to like this movie. Rylan ain't going to like this.
The funny thing was, when I was watching this, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, my wife would hate this movie.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like, who the hell else will I show it this movie to besides
your
who's
mom.
Sitting in this room?
Your mom.
No!
Come on, show your family. Show your cousins.
That's funny. My mom couldn't even watch Detroit without feeling upset.
Like listen, fam. We're going to sit down, and it's only going to be 1 hour and 7 minutes, okay? That ain't a lot of time out of your day. I mean, you know, these movies nowadays, 2.5 hours.
I don't think they invite me over anymore.
Let's go. Tetsuo the Iron Man. He's you know, it's Iron Man, right? I mean, he's got Iron Man in there.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most inaccessible artwork art house movies that you can watch? Ryland, I want to know.
I think, what my, do you think? My mom would get more out of Only God Forgives than this.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I got more out of Only God
Forgives. I did too.
Actually. But anyway, yeah, Ryland, yeah, you got to tell me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm not really sure whether I just sat through an hour-long Tool music video or like the penultimate episode of some mecha anime I've never heard of.
Yeah.
So, totally. Like, either way, I'm not really sure what I just watched at the end of the day. I mean, I kind of agree with everybody else on the positives. Like, the scores was really cool. It just kind of had this like, weird, like, dissonant, like, atonal sound that just kind of kept you, like, kind of disconnected, but also... also invested at the same time, like just at unease, like what is going on, what's going to happen. It fit really well with the imagery, the shaky camera and the rapid cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I also agree that the rapid cuts and the close-ups kind of made things indiscernible. It's hard to know what you're looking at times, and there's we haven't really talked about the minimal use of dialogue in this movie.
Right,
it's mostly it's mostly just kind of nonverbal yelling and grunting and thrashing and associated sound effects from there. So, I mean, I guess the screenwriter had a pretty easy go of it.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting dialogue was like at the end.
Well, from a dialogue point of view, I mean, obviously, like, when he was writing the world and stuff, but yeah, in terms of dialogue, oh, yeah, there's, like, a few lines.
And at the end, it feels like almost like an explanation. You're like, oh, okay, yeah.
We gotta give the audience, like, something to hang on to.
Yeah, like, it has a feeling of, like, this kind of just, like, raw, primal chaos, but with this kind of weird underlying theme of... rising industry and technology and society as well. So I mean, I kind of agree that was like the main message that I could have probably gotten out of it too. I mean, he could have been trying to say something else or that and other things as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very difficult to tell. It certainly does not spell it out for you, which, nope. I mean, I appreciate. Anything that spoon feeds you isn't good either, but I mean, I'm pretty perplexed by this one, I have to say.
It does spell out game over at the end, though.
Yeah.
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 Should have that Mario sound effect.
Perfect. I mean, another big thing that people kind of unpacked from this, which I could totally see, and it really fits with this movie too, is that this is a movie about a man struggling with his inner homosexuality. Which is really interesting because
I actually
you got a little bit of that.
Yeah. I did actually get a little bit of that, particularly near the end. Like,
we got our love.
Our love. I'm like, okay, this might be a slight metaphor for, you know.
Yeah, it's like that seemed a little bit at a left field, unless you consider.
If you go back though, and you kind of look at it, he's with his wife and stuff like that.
Yeah,
all
their
stuff
relationship
going on,
was kind of really going strange. Weird.
Yeah,
that makes
I have
sense.
A feeling like each
her,
of them was supposed to represent something.
Yeah.
So then there's that too.
There's a lot of also like very like sexually suggestive imagery as well. Not just with the twist, you know, drill dick. There's also, you know, he took
the highlight.
He took like a large like tube up his ass and all that shit.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see where that's coming from.
Yeah. And it's really interesting.
I can see that, but I don't think it's like that. Like effective. I don't know if that's what he's going for. Like,
overblown sexual imagery in movies is usually an allegory for the government fucking you somehow.
Like a Serbian film.
It does look like something is literally fucking you in the ass. So, like,
speaking of Serbian film, yeah, sure. The score. There you go.
Start with the little one.
Yeah. Oh my god, the ending. I like Serbian film.
I
go home.
You know? Yeah, myself and Alex, we appreciate extreme cinema.
See, I would rather watch Tetsu over a Serbian film again.
Well, I mean, I would too. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, but... Serbian film. Oh god.
But I like Serbian film. I appreciate what it did. It was out of the box. But anyways,
this
that's
has
a different
nothing
movie.
To do with Serbian.
Yeah,
it's
a different film.
No.
Yeah. Another time I'll bring that
I don't
in
know.
For
I
everybody.
Just, I didn't
no.
find that I didn't find that theme to be that effective. If I don't know. I just don't think it's that there's much to it.
The homosexuality.
Yeah, sure. Like, if you're just sprinkling some of that in, but it feels like if that's actually what he was intending,
might have been like a sub idea kind
of
thing.
I don't think that's the main thing.
If it is, if
it feels
is,
sprinkled
right?
on and superficial, and that, you know, when it feels superficial, like, because
yeah.
that's what, when you guys mentioned it, I thought back to the whole movie. I'm like, okay, where in the movie, you know, were there hints of it? I always think of that, right? I watch a movie, and then if I find something out later, I'll look at the complete context of the movie in my mind, kind of replay it and see, hey, did they, you know, foreshadow this? Were there cool little, you know, was this kind of sprinkled in and I never noticed it? For this, no, it feels very superficial. If that, like that theme specifically, like the only, that's why I was listening to what, I was curious what you were going to say, Alex, about what you thought the movie was about, because I was like, oh, fucking, like, I didn't, I was constantly trying to figure it out. When you mentioned that, I'm like, okay, but it still felt superficial. I'm like, yeah, that makes the most sense, what you said.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't feel like that.
Well, that's the big one. Oh, no, I think it makes a lot of sense, the whole, like, technology and all that, but it's...
Sure.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense if you look at it, and I think metal makes a lot of sense. I think the fact
metal,
that a lot of
I'm, I'm not upset about the whole metal angle. I kind of turned around on that. I was, like, listening to what Alex was saying, and I was like, okay, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just think, like, it's not that effective, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's the kind of way I'm looking at it, is that think, like I mentioned Horizon Zero Dawn, you want to look at something, like, about technology and
but that's like kind of laying it out for you, right? That's going, oh yeah, this is what it is, and you know, this film isn't about that. This
no,
film is about
it's definitely telling us
we're representing
versus like
we're
just,
representing this idea, you know, while this other stuff's going on, but it's not like you guys have said.
I don't know. I think the biggest thing I keep going to is, like, I get what the I kind of see certain ideas of what the movie's trying to tell.
Yeah.
I can sort of get an idea of what they're trying to say. I just don't know what the point is.
Okay.
Of like, what's the real point
the thing,
of everything?
Right?
And I really don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I kind of like there's all these we've all had kind of our own interpretation of the movie, and maybe that is the point. You're supposed to just there's no point. You're supposed to just take what you're take
there's
out of
a bit
it
of that. I think the homosexuality one is a bit of that. I think that's somebody who went, you know, there's a few things here, but
but
the technology one I think was definitely a thing he intended on. I think that
it's everywhere. It's the one thing that is in your face, like, okay, machines and humans, like
melding,
pretty much. It's in the title too. But that's sort of what I kept going to, is like I think all of us are kind of having a struggle. What was the actual point of this of the story? What was the director really trying to say? I don't think any of us really got that.
Maybe he's implying that with our reliance on technology we might as well be one creature.
I don't know.
Like, he'll turn the whole world into, like, the idea that this monster will turn this whole world into
rust.
Into metal and rust, and we'll just disappear kind of thing, and we'll that'll be what's left. But again, like,
machines taking over humans.
You guys don't know, but I felt like I've just played something that did that message more effectively. So, like, I can't, because again, I can't talk about it because
it's
like a
you
recent thing
it.
And I don't want to ruin like a, you know, like a tens of hours of game for people who haven't played it, even though it's a movie podcast. But like that story it was telling is very similar, like it, definitely a lot broader, a lot broader in scope. This is definitely a lot more narrow. But I feel like they're hitting a lot of the same points about specifically metal. Like there's companies called Metallurgic and stuff like that. And like it's hitting these same themes, but it was just so much more effective. I thought it was so much more engaging and interesting, and it was making similar, it was similar themes, a lot of similar themes. So like after having played that for a ridiculous amount of time and getting immersed in that, and then watching this and just having this like blow past me in 67 minutes and going, really, that's it? That's what it's about? I feel like it's just okay. That's all I can say about it, is just shrug my shoulders and go, okay, why not?
Yeah, that's I had the same feeling, why not? And another thing that brought to mind in terms of like I've seen the sort of like, you know, humans and machinery sort of blending is I almost wonder if anyone from Star Trek took this movie as a slight inspiration for like the Borg or anything like that.
Oh yeah.
Which, cause that the whole like metal being like a virus or a fungus is kind of like the Borg in general.
A little bit. Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. But again, going off what Andrew was saying, like we've seen this theme told well and told more effectively. But again, it's sort of what I was saying. I don't know if that's, yeah, that's sort of that surface value. That's what we see from the film, but I don't know if that's exactly the main message. Again, struggling with what was the point of the movie, because we see all these questions, all these ideas scattered everywhere. And ultimately,
I don't even think that's the draw of the movie.
I know.
Well, it is. It is very much an experience too.
Yeah,
that is a big part
of
it.
The draw is definitely the imagery and the.
Yes,
the sound.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying that's going on too. It's got kind of both going on.
Yeah, it's when you're trying to look deeper into it. Yeah. It's just where we're like, okay.
Then it feels a little shallow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like it feels very interesting, and there's a lot of depth to the visuals and the sound. Mm-hmm. But then you start to go try to go any deeper in terms of what the film's about, themes, things like that. It feels shallow.
Feels like you're getting a hose up the butt.
I don't want to spend too much of my time thinking, what did he mean by shoving that metal hose or whatever
because
up the butt?
Because he's
I don't
into
know that
dudes.
I want to waste my
he's
brain
into,
power
he's
on
into
that.
Dudes. That's what it is. That's the
sure.
Yeah, there you
sure.
go.
Sure. That great. Yeah. Good. Great. Theme there.
Glad we established
great,
that
anal
one.
Equals gay. Okay. Yeah. I that's a good message. Yeah. Thanks.
There you go.
Like
there you go.
Fuck, dude. Just
see, that's a straightforward message that you can get behind.
Yeah. And you can show your family and you can say this
get
guy.
Behind it. Yeah.
You can get behind.
I mean, that was a joke at the same caliber, so as that message. So I can't be mad about that. I can't be mad about that. Unless it came from Zach.
Can you get behind it?
Yeah, see, now I don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
Jesus. I'm on the Jack's the wavelength here. So yeah.
For once.
Yeah.
For once, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'll give this movie some props. It had no dumb cops in it. It had no cops at all.
Yeah.
It had no cops at all.
You must love this movie.
So on like Police Check,
it passed the test.
Yeah, it's got no cops at all. That's a good solution.
But at
just
the same
don't
time,
write any.
But at the same time, though, Andrew, wouldn't you think there would be a cop presence if they were making all that destruction?
No,
in
fuck.
Town?
If I were a cop and getting paid, and I saw like this metal monster, I'd be like, I don't get paid nearly enough.
That's
to deal with this.
But you always
bye
got
bye.
That hero. You got that hero cop.
But they've seen Akira, man. They know what's happening. Like, nope, you see a
giant. Yeah, I guess they would have. Yeah.
A giant assimilated metal creature. Run the fuck away.
Yeah, they were warned a year before.
That's right. Also, yeah, like, yeah. This movie's shot in a way where it feels like everything's happening in their own world. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if this was just happening in one of the characters' heads or something.
Oh, yeah.
They pull a 2000s fucking twist, an early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, it was all in his head.
Yeah. Like, it, sure, and it wouldn't be a stretch because it feels like a dream. So, because
more,
it's
more
just
like
so
a nightmare.
What did you guys think?
Yeah, nightmare.
What did you guys think of them jazz bits on the score?
That was good.
Jazz.
Again,
jazz.
I said everything about the score
was
good.
Yeah, no, the music is fine. So anytime I was on board.
Yeah.
So it was
all the changes.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like an Injustice for All where it stood out.
Yeah, yeah, where it's like
it actually,
awful,
I actually
yeah.
felt like it was like okay, now it's kind of like a different beat. It almost changes the tone. It almost kind of puts you on your toes a little bit because you're like, oh, now all of a sudden we're a little nicer. But then again, we've seen what this movie has already done to us.
Yeah.
We're already not
like a
trusting
slight
it.
Moment of levity, like a tiny break. Before
a little bit, but
it's
you're
like a stop sign on the way to the end, you know.
Yeah, but
you as the viewer is refusing to be lulled into the false.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And they don't let you sit in it for very long either.
No.
So
they kind of just slap the stop sign on your face as you're waiting.
They're like, "Hey, just wait. Bye. Here you go."
Pretty much.
That's this fucking movie.
But
man.
I mean, hey, it could be a dream too, because I mean, there could be a theory that when the car hits the metal fetishist and it says "New World" on front of the car. That it could be, it could be this whole thing could be start of a dream.
I feel like if you want to just get the experience of this movie, I could take a flashlight and put the fast flash on on a flashlight setting, flash it in your eyes, and then bang two pots together for a while.
No, no,
eventually,
no, two
you'll
pots.
Get the same feeling on the inside.
Yeah. While I'm like shoving like
a tube up your ass.
No, a slinky in your face. I'm just going slinky.
Yeah. So there you go. You want to feel. You want a similar feeling. There you go.
How did it make you feel?
Yeah, Zach, I have a question for you.
Sure. Yeah.
How the hell is this in your top 100 favorite movies?
How is
where? It? No, hold on. Another question. Where in your top
number
100
70?
70.
Whoa. Yeah.
All right.
Scarface is ahead of it by 2, I will say. Oh, yeah, Andrew.
That's
so,
a good question. I was wondering.
Yeah, so what's your scale? What's your scale of Scarface?
I preferred Scarface over this, I think.
Really?
Thank you.
No. You can't shake your hand, Jack. I'm sorry, bud.
Are you being sincere about that? Because I thought you didn't
sincere?
Like Scarface.
I thought Scarface was overrated.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
I didn't say, like, I straight up didn't like
oh,
it.
Oh,
like,
I thought you did.
I was like, oh, it's okay. You know, that was kind of my
But you'll see it over
reaction.
This, so I'll take
but
it.
But I'd rewatch Scarface. Like, I'm willing to turn around on it, maybe. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm very much willing. I'm in no way willing to change my opinion on this movie.
Okay.
I know that watching it again, like, sometimes you just know. Watching it again, you'll see more, I'm mm-hmm. sure, because mm-hmm. that's natural. I'll kind of yep. ignore stuff I already saw and pick up on other things I missed. But at the same time, I know I won't get any remotely any more enjoyment out of it. I know that.
Like,
I'm positive.
I have a slightly better idea of what I just watched, but I'm not sure why. So.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll still be sitting in the same feeling at the end of it. And
it's a good feeling. It's nah. You're hooked on a feeling, and it feels nice.
Yeah, Scarface is a better movie.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, no shit. It's your favorite movie. Yeah, I mean, well, I think I already explained myself going back to what you were saying of how it's like one of my, you know, top 100 movies or whatever.
Yeah, what, okay, when yeah. was the first time you actually saw this movie?
Oh.
And also, just why?
It was a while ago because I've seen this a few times. Like, I've seen this quite a few times because that's a good thing about this movie is the time, you know, the runtime is so short that honestly, and it's a crazy experience. It gives you a rush.
I think that's the only way you can get someone to rewatch. It's like, well, it's not that long.
It really isn't. It's a really short movie. It's the shortest movie, you know, in my top 100.
If it was 3 hours, I don't think you'd be breathing anymore.
Well, that's it. Well, if it was an hour and a half, I think it would
like,
be
like,
too
yeah, no, I agree. Like, how did you discover this? Because, like, did you just take some speed, go to a Blockbuster video, and then the guy saw you, and he was like, fuck, you need this. Like,
you need this.
This. You watch this now.
Wear yourself out.
Like, shit, dude.
I mean, I watched it years ago, but it was, I mean, it wasn't a Blockbuster rental, I don't think, or something. I think I just watched it, I don't know, somehow, but I saw it, and probably in the shittiest of conditions, which is kind of great, actually, for this movie, you know, if you think about it. And yeah, I think I was just struck by, I mean, in the beginning, I think you get hit by, like, the experience, right? You get hit by the, holy shit, like, this is, you're taking everything in at face value at first, and just, it's just, like, nothing you've ever seen, right? And it's almost like a whiplash, and, you know, you don't know quite what to do with it, but there are elements that I grabbed onto anyways, like the score and the visuals, I mean, you can't even deny that, and just different things about it that it was like, fuck, I've never quite seen anything, and then when I saw it again, I don't know if I was showing somebody. No, probably not. Because I think the first time I showed anybody this movie was when John was over, actually. And when you decided to pass out, you're like,
yeah.
Fuck it!
No, man, I was just so tired. And
it's like, a lot to deal with
if you're
tired.
Seeing that opening sequence, I'm just like, no, I'm not in the mood. Honestly. I you need to be in a mood to see this movie.
John,
and I don't know if there, you know what, after seeing it just now, I don't think there, I don't know that there is a right mood for this movie.
I disagree. I like it. I think if you're looking for something really exciting that's unlike anything you've ever seen before, that's really visionary, I think this is great.
I think that you could just get the score.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put it on, like, throw some earphones on, some headphones on.
Yep.
Just listen to that, and you'll get the best possible experience from this movie.
I disagree with
that. I feel
that.
Like...
You can check out some of the scenes. You can play it over
sure.
some of the scenes with stop motion and the prosthetic.
Yeah,
yeah you know,
well.
There's that. But I feel like in order to do that, you have to, like, watch the whole movie, which
yeah.
is, like,
it
I don't
works
know,
with
man.
The whole movie.
The part I liked best, I don't need to watch it to experience that. So,
I mean, the score you can listen to on its own, but I just think it works so well with the movie. I mean, it's
it
almost
fit.
A part of it, really.
It fits, but I feel like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't want to watch the movie again to have to experience that sync of visual, like some of the cool visuals.
Yeah.
With the sound. So screw it. I just won't even.
I'm just surprised that you're not more arrested, like, with the, with the over, like, the crazy visuals and stuff.
I do. I liked it a lot. Like, that stop motion stuff was the coolest stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked that. Like, it reminded me of, like, it's the reason why I think, like, Doctor Strange was one of the most visually interesting Marvel movies, because it had kind of stuff like that, like the apple on the table. Like, so some of the stuff that I saw in this movie reminded me of stuff like the apple on the table, mm-hmm. and some of the time stuff that they did in that Doctor Strange movie, mm. where like the cups were just going like in and out.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
The some of the stuff was like growing and coming back and like going back and back and forth, or like quickly growing. Like, it was like a time lapse almost. Mm. And I thought that was super cool,
mm-hmm.
as like a visual trick. And that I loved a lot. Mm-hmm. But again, that is mixed in with like some of the stuff where it's like, what is happening? You know, like is some of the more confusing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, you can't get one without the other.
Yeah. So, no, that's true. It is all one package, but I just
So here's the thing. So I did like that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like I didn't. But the reason why I'm against the idea of having to like rewatch it is just because I have to watch it all together, and I don't know that I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I could just see, like, if I could make my own cut of that movie, sure, maybe, but it would be even shorter. It would be a decent bit shorter. So like, I don't know, man. Like,
are you going to rush it to see that sequel, Lander?
That's the thing I was saying earlier, is like, I have pretty much no desire to see it again, this one again, or any desire to see the other two.
But you get to see it in color, man. You get to see it in color now. Get to see a new story.
I don't know. There's other things
I'd
rather
watch. There is a story. There is a story.
There are other things I'd rather watch. Like, even, like, were we talking about, even some of the sequels to some of the other movies we watched on here that we had mentioned. I think, like, even the Psycho ones, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd watch that before I watch the sequels to this.
Well, I mean, it's a good sequel, too, but it's also more straightforward, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a whole different movie entirely. And that's why it was a risk, but I definitely wanted to bring it in. But moving on to Alex, because Andrew's a wimp. What did you think of this movie?
Sorry,
I was about to say, we already know what he thinks.
Yeah, like, yeah, I thought he mentioned
but
that.
But I mean, just final kind of statement.
Oh, we're doing
like,
final? Can I finish one thing then?
Oh,
I didn't know we were summing up.
We were kind of still going off of why you were still, why did you like this movie?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to come back to that, I mean, it's just kind of everything. I mean, really, I was arrested by, you know, the fucking visuals, the score, the sound design, you know, the ideas that they had in it. And like I said, the second time that kind of made it all, you know, a little more cohesive, and it made a lot more sense. And yeah, it was just like, you've never seen anything like this ever. And that just kind of blew me away. Like, something really visionary like that on like a low budget. I don't know what the budget was, but it wasn't a lot. I know that. And you can tell because of like different techniques they did. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was really amazing. Again, I just never seen anything like it. And it just reminds me of like films like Evil Dead and stuff like that, where again, they take a low budget, but they do something crazy that's like never really been done, and they make this like really unique movie that just blows you out of the water. And I just thought this movie, combined with like the crazy pace and stuff like that, how it never lets you breathe. And I like how, you know, those movies only come by every once in a while, and it's really cool that one is that, but it also has, again, the visual flares, the ideas behind it, the score, which is really fucking good. It's a whole package for me, really. Like, for me, I don't really have any negatives, and I don't have a problem getting lost in a movie either, and especially since it's art house you're going to, I think. But obviously, the more you dive into it, the more you're willing to give yourself up to it, I think, the more it works for you. And I think obviously the repeat viewings of this movie have kind of done that. And yeah, it's just overall, it's just such a unique masterpiece for me personally. And I know, I mean, obviously other people really like it too, but obviously it's not everybody's cup of tea, which is naturally to be expected with a movie like this.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, it's just one of those things where for me, art house, if I'm going to get lost in, I also enjoy getting lost in a movie and just kind of experiencing it rather than needing to understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think it's just the kind, what I'm getting lost in. This is getting lost in an uncomfortable, not like a disturbing feeling, pretty much. And, you know, that's not that's not a pleasant experience usually.
Okay.
And it can be, it's okay to be to be lost in something uncomfortable, but I think that takes it a step further than that. It's not uncomfortable.
It's crossing the line.
It's crossing that line into like just undesirable, like in a way where it's kind of disturbing and in a way that you just don't really want to be like having that feeling for even 67 minutes. Sure. Just because like, it's not a great feeling.
It turns you off.
It turns you off of it. Yeah, exactly. Like if whether this movie is underrated or not, I would like underrated by me. Sure.
Mm.
Because maybe I just don't get it as much, but, like I'm not at all surprised that, you know, pretty much nobody would have seen this.
Well, let me retune that. I mean, because obviously this film is never going to be huge, right? I mean, this film is never going to be. But I think at the same time, I think it should be kind of in that playing field of those other art house films that, like, again, like I said earlier, like Cronenberg or Lynch should put out that, you know, are well regarded because
I think that their movies are just better, in my opinion, though.
What have you seen by Lynch?
Lynch, like Mulholland Drive, I liked a lot. And there's a few others. I'm trying to remember the names. Like if you name some off, I could.
Blue Velvet's the other one.
Yeah, so I like Blue Velvet a lot. Like so I've seen like at least three or four of his movies.
Eraserhead.
No, I haven't seen Eraserhead. For this one too. Dune. I haven't seen Eraserhead.
Well, Dune, Jesus.
Yeah, but you know, I do like Lynch's stuff more. Okay. And Cronenberg as well.
Yeah, because this film is really Eraserhead, a Cronenberg movie. And maybe like the Terminator, like you combine them all.
Yeah.
And it's also its own thing too. Like, and that's like people just trying to explain it in a review. Like I've seen people in reviews just trying to like, it's this movie and this movie and this movie and this movie.
It's unique and I'll give it that.
You know, it's like, but so really it's its own thing. It just has, you know,
I'll give it that, but I don't think it needs to be held up to those directors and those
Think it needs to be. I just wish, you know, more people of those interests who are into those kind of, you know,
if you're deep into Lynch's catalog or you know anything Cronenberg, I could say check this out. But I would say for like most people, my opinion, I could not at all give a general recommendation for this. I would I'd say this is the smallest of niches would find this underrated. Like it would be some buried treasure that they'd find. And that's you for sure, Zach. Like you look like, I think you're the minority on this one, but it seems that way. Minority.
There is definitely like somewhat of a cult building for this movie, but I just think it could be a bigger cult. I'm not asking.
Yeah, because it's not The Room, like cult status.
No.
The Room or something like that. This is like cult status of this is a very, it seems like generally as far as total movie going audience goes, this would be the tiniest of the tiny that would be that would love this movie because I just can't see, this has a very limited appeal. I feel
John really liked this movie.
Yeah, John's also got a weird. He fits that one because he's heavy into Lynch.
Yep.
He's heavy into like Cronenberg and everything. He loves those that type of film.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying I can agree. If you are deep into that style of movie, you will like this. You will probably like this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else will feel just either confused, uncomfortable, like it might not be the most pleasant of experiences. So just know yourself before you get into this movie.
If you like metal inside you, you should see this movie too. That's also for you.
Yeah, if you're looking for a message of like technology taking over humanity, maybe go somewhere else. Maybe don't stick with this one because that's not exactly the most effective use of that theme.
I disagree. I don't think it's maybe the most, but I think it's a neat way of doing it.
I said it's not. Yeah. Well.
So is that your final thoughts?
That's final in that I don't really think it's that overrated. You go ahead, Alex.
Underrated.
Yeah. Really?
I say overrated. I don't think it's that underrated. Yeah.
Alex.
I was just thinking Scarface, I guess. So. Go ahead, Alex.
Andrew, that was spoken like a true vanilla honky.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear.
So every movie and every film should show the audience something completely different that they have never seen, heard, or experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
This film definitely does that.
Yep.
Sure, you can take the... And I think there was a story and a plot. I will definitely say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you could have taken... A person could have taken that story and plot and told it in a very plain and straightforward, maybe even Japanese way.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it over there, but it could have been done that way.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a young director, and it's the late 1980s. Society is changing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are changing at that point, just as they're changing now. So I think if you to tell a story like that, sometimes you need to go right off the barren path and into the water and underneath the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to shake people up sometimes.
Yeah.
Even if the story itself might not be that strong, even if that's the case, that you can still tell it in a very interesting way. And I think that was done here, especially with the visuals and the audio that was put in. Like that, I loved it.
Yeah.
And the tumultuous storyline for the main character, it could be summed up from a line from Fight Club, which is, "You met me at a very strange time in my life."
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that connection can be made. And I wonder if there's a Criterion reissue for this film, because I think it could benefit from a little bit digital update.
I think there actually was a Criterion release, but it was on Laserdisc. So it was way back, right? If I might be wrong, but I feel like there was, but it was way back. And yeah, it would be cool if they did put it on Blu-ray, you know, and update it, because it'd be cool to see some cool featurettes and stuff if they could pull any out. Because, I mean, the director's still active. He still makes
good
films, stuff like that. They're really out there, you know. Again, like I said, if you like this, you should check out his filmography, because they are, you know, it's really different. Andrew liked Tokyo Fist, though, so that's really interesting.
Tokyo Fist.
Because I remember you liked that movie. That's the same director. It's only 6 years later.
What is Tokyo Fist about?
It's about a boxer. It's been a long time since I've seen that. I haven't seen that as much, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's about boxing. I know that much.
Like I said, like, risk-taking is a good thing. It just doesn't always pay off with everybody, right? So this didn't pay off with me.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm sure that a guy who's taking risks like that, I could see something else of his and really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's on a film-by-film basis.
Oh, no, so. I mean, I get that, too. And his films, like I say, they do take risks. They're very out there and trying very different things. So if you like that, I mean, I highly recommend you check it out. But yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you can't go from watching Home Alone to the Philadelphia Story to Seven to this.
Right.
Like, sometimes, especially with the music and this type of film, you have to build up to something like this in order to really enjoy it.
Sure.
Industrial music is basically a mixture of metal and techno.
Yeah, in a way.
And it's got a grungy feel to it. Mm-hmm. I don't mean grunge like Nirvana grunge. No. I mean a dirty feel
like
to it. Yeah, like a gritty feel to it. And that began in the, I think it was the early to mid 1980s. So if
Ministry was always like one of the big ones, that kind of kicked it off.
Early mid 80s.
It was like mid 80s. Like that. Mid to like just into the late, like, 86 or something. Yeah.
So if a person can expose themselves to that type of music and find some enjoyment in it, and then again, you got to build up to it. And same with this type of movie. Like, it's very tumultuous. It's very all over the place. But if you can watch enough of it and grasp it and understand it and wrap your head around it, I think you can get enjoyment out of it. And I definitely did. It's, like I said, it's a veering off the mainstream path of how stories are told. And I think every once in a while we need that. We definitely need that, especially in this type of format. Because look at the movies that we've all presented in the past 16 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Take mine, for example. They're very straightforward. They're very by the book, and maybe some messages. Mm-hmm. But it's basically, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not much message behind it. This, way off the beaten path of mainstream. Yep. And we need that kind of storytelling every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So thank you for choosing this film. We definitely needed something like it. And I do think it's underrated. Even for North American audiences, some of them who are really into Japanese media.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been exposed to Japanese media, and I'm getting into it slowly. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a great way to not only get into that, but get into something different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely different.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jack, your final thoughts?
Yeah, no,
And Rylan.
Yeah, that sounds like my opinion. Yeah, overall, it's kind of hard because I agree pretty much a lot with what Andrew is saying. I just think, yeah, I got to see it, experience it, and I don't regret seeing it. I'm glad I saw it, but to be perfectly honest, based on where you have it, Zach,
yeah,
I think it's a tad overrated.
Okay. I mean, that's me personally, though.
No, that's fair, but given, like, I kind of just briefly looked up, like, kind of, like, reviews.
Oh, you did?
Just briefly, just seeing, like, where it's, like, on the tomato meter, what everyone else kind of thought about it, and even where they're all at. I'm just like, yeah, it's, like, I don't know. To me, it didn't really blow my mind in terms of, like, I never saw, like, this type of filmmaking before. I've seen this type of filmmaking before. It's just, again, I've never seen this type of movie in terms of, like, with the kinetic energy, with the editing.
Yeah.
That's really what was the main draw to it.
Yeah.
But I've seen stuff like that before with the quick, like, stop motion, all that. So overall, nothing to me was really groundbreaking, and I've seen better art house films overall. But like I said, there's too many good things in this movie for me to say that it's not worth seeing.
Right, yeah.
Like I said, the visuals and the how it blends with the music and the sound editing and the quick short runtime. And I feel like this movie did influence how a lot of music videos are made.
Sure.
Especially throughout the 90s. Like, that sort of became a very big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no desire to see this again. It doesn't draw me in. And it's not that I'm not into these type of movies. Mm-hmm. I've seen slow-paced or really arty films, and I've gotten a lot out of it.
Yeah.
But I kind of, like I said, we kind of have an idea of what this film was trying to say, but again, it didn't give me at least a clear answer of what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I have interest in seeing the sequels, but this one, I don't know. I'm kind of, I have, besides, again, this group of people, I don't know who I would show this to. I personally don't have any desire to see it again, and I think it's, like I said, I think it's a tad overrated in terms of art house films, but that doesn't mean it's bad or a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, it's okay. So overall, that's kind of what I think of it.
Cool. And Rylan, was Rylan think of this whole thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say that I know enough about art house cinema or Japanese cinema to say in general whether this is underrated or not.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I would think it's, for myself, I think it's a little overrated. I just, I felt like it was Jack who said that you said the assault on the senses.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it was just kind of an unrelenting barrage of just like input.
Mm.
And I don't know, I prefer a film that does allow you to put the pieces together while you're watching it rather than just kind of dumping it all on you. But it's a very hectic whirlwind experience. And I mean, I'm kind of with Jack in the sense that, like, I'm glad I watched it because like, I know what the deal is now. I know what it's all about. I might be willing to sit down and watch it again and see if I can't get something more out of it next time. And I mean, I'm kind of fascinated by those sequels too. So those may get viewed at some point.
It's definitely interesting. I mean, if I recall correctly, they do bump up the runtime, but it's also not as kinetic. Like,
then
this one's nonstop.
If it's longer, I don't want to watch it.
It's like an hour and a half.
Are they also filmed with the potato?
With a potato. I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously the one that's way more recent, it actually came out, I think, in like 2011, the third one. So it's like way later than the first two. So, I mean, I would say like the second one, I mean, it's in color now. You know, I think they have a little more money and things, but it's still pretty raw and things. It's definitely like a higher budget and production, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, than the first one. And then of course the third one I would say is even higher, and you've got the score change up with Trent Reznor and stuff like that.
That'd be interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. But again, it's like, you know, if you're into this sort of thing, if you're not, then I mean, heed with caution, obviously. But yeah, it's interesting.
I was going to say, Alex, if you want like more of something like that.
I do.
Like something like that in the sense of like an art house, but like let's flip the script and go completely opposite.
A Serbian film.
No frantic energy. No, like art house in the sense of like it's abstract and how the sound complements the kind of is very much a part of what you're seeing visually. Like even last year I saw one like that, but it was the opposite. It wasn't frantic. It was slow.
Okay.
So you flip it in terms of the pacing, but also short. Mm-hmm. So it's also pretty damn short, I think. But I saw Ghost Story. I've been telling Zach about
that. Here
we
go.
But no, that one's that it's very similar, right? Like, this one's all 4:3, right?
Yeah.
4:3. They do it like even smaller than that, whatever it was. It's very, very jarring when you first look at it because you're like, what are they going for?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that gives you an idea of like, it is kind of art housey and I could see why it was missed last year, but that's recent. So like, that's something where it's kind of the same deal. Like dialogue is like almost non-existent. You know, it's all heavily, it's all about how the sound complements what you're seeing visually. And it's visually very all over the place and kind of crazy, but much, much slower, much, much slower. So it's one of those things where, yeah, like if you're looking for something like that, that is also underrated just by nature of what it was. Like that came out last year and I've not a lot of people saw it. I think I saw it like within the opening week and there were like, it was so weird because I was the first one in that theater. There's nobody else. And this is like the theater where like people go to see some art house movies. Like they have them because people will go see them. There's like four people in the theater. I was like, yeah, okay. So, and yeah, like nobody's seen it. Like I keep trying to push it on like you, Zach, right? And then to the point where you think it's funny, right?
Yeah, I mean, which you bring it cool. into a podcast and you're like, Ghost Story, let's plug it.
No, I'm just making a point though, Netflix. Like because it's hard for me to like, you're always making comparisons when you're seeing a movie. So like, you know, for me, that actually was pretty comparable as like an art house movie in terms of not at all the plot. Not remotely.
No.
In terms of the theme or the pacing, but just kind of the art house style.
Yeah.
In its style in terms of music and visuals and how they complement each other and kind of the pacing and they kind of mirror each other. They're almost exact opposites.
Right.
So it's, I don't know. Like if you're interested in something like that, I was going to make that kind of recommendation, but it's not. So that's why I say like, in terms of how unique it is, like, oh, it's so unique. It's like I've seen other things that definitely what I'm talking about is a lot more recent, but I feel like it's not wholly unique, but I think just the pacing of it was kind of its own.
And I would add to that, Enter the Void.
Yeah,
I
really like that.
Enter the Void
one.
Is another assault on the senses like that.
And that's like a big stretch out, at least when compared to this film.
Like it's
like
a 3-hour movie.
Three hours.
Yeah.
That's a lot harder, I would say, to watch.
That's an experience film for sure. It's like, oh, what is life like after death? And like,
no, I'm just saying like harder in the sense of like, oh, you just got a lot to go through. It's
that too.
Time investment, like, cause like a movie like this, can you imagine if this movie was that length, like 2.5 hours or something?
No, it couldn't be.
That would drain me.
Like, well, no, you just couldn't. And I'm with you there too. I think it's the perfect runtime if you're just going to go balls to the wall the whole time. And like, I think this is the perfect runtime. And I think that's almost something special about the movie too. By the way, do you know why there's only four people in your theater for Ghost Story?
I don't want to hear it.
I don't either.
Because the only people that watch Ghost Stories are ghosts.
Oh!
Great.
Now he's spooked. Andrew's spooked now.
Great, this episode's ruined now.
So that was Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Yes, this podcast episode is officially longer than the action movie itself.
Yep, I was waiting for that. I knew it would be. I knew it.
You're
first.
You got about 15 minutes over it. So
17.
Nice.
17? All right.
Tetsuo the Iron Man, it gets your dick hard. Might make you drill some stuff with it if you get really excited. But overall, I think it's a good watch. Alex thinks it's a good watch. Everybody else?
They can all go fuck.
they kind of dig it. They kind of don't. Somewhere on that line.
It has some merit, and I think, some good themes from what I could decipher.
It's got some good points overall.
You, so. Some, you mean with that drill dick?
That's, it reminds exactly me that there are a lot of other things that I would rather be doing.
I'm with you there.
So whether you're drilling or you're into, you know...
Getting hit by cars.
Yeah, getting hit by cars. Let's say New World on it. I mean, you know, this is it for you. And until next time, who's next? Andrew's next, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mine's like, there could be any other opposite end kind of movie. It's Relief. Let's just call it Relief.
Sure. And it's a film that I've seen too, and I'm excited to relive these memories.
Yeah. But until... let's chill out. Let's chill out a little bit. Let's relax a little bit now.
But until next time, folks, stay sexy.